Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another video. Last Tuesday, which is usually the day I focus on British news, if you've noticed, there was a method to my madness. Every Tuesday it's British news, usually. Last Tuesday, I said that in amongst all the hysteria, where they were trying to use the Mandelson affair to bring down Keir Starmer for the fourth or fifth time, by my count, I said that Starmer won't budge, he won't go anywhere. People are just wasting their breath. And lo and behold, Starmer vowed to fight on. And in fact, not only did he vow to fight on, he said he's going to win the next general election in 2020. He's going to be there. One, he's going to be there in 2029. And two, he's going to win that election as well. So the Starmbot came out fighting, as I predicted. All of the efforts to oust him have been for naught, because the man does not respond to normal human impetus. And he's the old kind of rule book. You know, there was a kind of unofficial rule book in British public life that, you know, if something happened out of a sense of shame, honor, and duty, okay, for public acknowledgement of wrongdoing, et cetera, that a gentleman, you know, would resign. As a matter of course. But of course, Keir Starmer has none of those things. He is, when I say he's a robot, I mean it literally. And if there is no specific law telling him that he has to go, he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to cling on. Oh, you know, what was that thing that the American Rifle Association used to say, you know, for my cold, dead hands? You're going to have to drag him kicking and screaming. He's not going to go willingly. And we know this about Starmer. So I was, again, I'm always surprised that when people kind of temporarily forget things that we already know. However, the chances of Labour actually winning in 2029, I think, have diminished greatly as a result of the Mandelson affair, believe it or not. In fact, a couple of months ago, I wrote an article in Chronicles magazine, which you can still read, I think it's still there, where I said that the net effect of the Mandelson affair and the resignation of Morgan McSweeney is a victory of what is known as the soft left within the Labour Party and the Brownout faction, okay, and a trouncing, really, a weakening of the Blairites. Now, you have to park for a second the fact that we have discovered through many years of close analysis that Tony Blair is really part of the Zionist faction, you know, as we call it. Morgan McSweeney was the hardest core Zionist within the Labour Party, as well as a man called Luke Akehurst and the Blue Labour guy, Glasman, Lord Glasman, okay? These are the real hardcore Zionist friends of Israel within the Labour Party. And the left of the party, of course, is more kind of Israel critical or pro-Palestine, although not enough for the real hardcore pro-Palestine crowd, most of whom you'll now find in the Green Party or supporting Jeremy Corbyn or Zara Sultana or people like this, okay? That's the kind of lay of the land within Labour. But if you park the Israel question for the moment and focus solely on domestic politics, it just so happens that the pro-Israel faction within Labour, that is the Tony Blair faction, the Blue Labour, the Morgan McSweeney, Lord Glasman faction, actually have the correct diagnosis for what Labour should do in terms of battling reform and in terms of winning an election, which is basically Dark Lord containment tactics. What are they? It is fight reform on a right-wing turf, okay? Don't call them racist. Don't fight the culture war. Don't go down the route of doing all of those things. Instead, let your actions speak. Get immigration under control, okay? Be strong on law and order and let that speak for itself, and that will take the wind out of the sails of the populists, okay? And one of the great tragedies, and I know my buddy Max Tempers agrees with me on this. He's one of the few people in the British political space that I can think of that sees things as clearly as I do when it comes to this question. Okay, Max Tempers, he's a good follow on Twitter. I know that he agrees with me. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I know that he agrees with me on this, okay, which is that Labour have actually been doing a decent job, right, of doing the Dark Lord playbook. You know, Shabana Mahmood, if you overlook the fact for a moment that she is a dreaded Muslim, okay, has actually been pretty strong on immigration. She's been pretty strong on the law and order stuff, and she's been a tough Home Secretary, okay? In fact, there's an argument to say she's been the most, quote-unquote, right-wing Home Secretary that we've had for a very long time, which is ironic. And I said that, and I said, I remember when all the rightsoids were, you know, throwing a hissy fit over Mahmood. I said, look, she's from that Blairite faction, and she's going to be tough. She's going to be better than Yvette Cooper was. And that has proven to be the case, to the extent where she even got low-key defended by Carl Benjamin in a recent spat that he had with that horrible American. She's not even American. She's like Colombian, I think. Is it Valentina Gomez? There was like a run-in on Twitter that I happened to see, you know, where they were. She's been banned from coming to the UK because, you know, she is basically a hate preacher. You know, she's kind of like so hardcore anti-Islam that the government have said she's not allowed in the country. Mahmood has been tough enough that even Carl Benjamin was kind of low-key defending Mahmood, okay, based on her record. The tragedy of Labour and the tragedy of this Labour government and of Keir Starmer is that they never profit politically from the things that they're doing. That is, they do the Dark Lord playbook, but then they don't message on it, or they don't make a big deal. Like, they do not translate those things into political victories for themselves. They don't communicate them. One of the reasons for that is because, given the rise of the Greens and given the prominence of the left-wing faction within Labour, I'm talking about Angela Rayner and the soft left in general, because those people are in the party, they always feel queasy about doing these kind of dark lordy kind of containment manoeuvres. And so they feel funny about doing it in the first place, so they're not going to boast about it. They kind of feel a little bit ashamed about having to do these things. And they don't want to, they're scared of alienating the left-wing base, okay, who will then start to call them fascists and things like that. So they never go the whole hog, okay? If it was Blair and if it was the, you know, the New Labour of old, they'd be banging the drum about what they'd done on immigration, on their record, on banning porn, on all these sorts of, you know, tough measures that they've taken that they could quite easily sell to a conservative audience. They just don't do it. They never profit from it. So instead, they're kind of open to be critiqued from the right and critiqued from the left over and over and over again, which ends up making Keir Starmer and this government hated by everybody. And as if to make matters worse, they've released an advert, and we're going to be watching this advert together. It's a bit of a longer, it took me 10 minutes to get there, bit of a longer intro today, but we're going to be watching this broadcast that Labour put out that apparently has been banned by the BBC, who wouldn't show it uncut because of its supposedly shocking content. We're going to be watching that together. Before we get there, I'll remind people to pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Trivium is the bestseller. Mega Bundle is the most efficient way to get all of the courses. If you just want to dip a toe in, I'd recommend Foundations of Research. Latest one by me is Foundations of Shakespeare. Many other people have done great courses on the Academic Agency too. Check those out. Buy it all now. But now let's watch this together. And if you wanted a perfect demonstration of what I'm saying about the dynamics within the Labour Party, This would never have been signed off if Morgan McSweeney was still director of, was still basically controlling the show there. Okay, this is what happens when the Labour Party allow the left to gain control, and this is going to be an issue for Keir Starmer in any upcoming election. I mean, this is basically like, when I saw this, I thought, are you guys actually campaigning for, have you learned nothing from Tony? Right? I mean, I can imagine Blair watching this with his head in his hands in despair. Morgan McSweeney certainly will be thinking, in fact, Morgan McSweeney's probably got his feet up on the desk somewhere being like, yep, told you. Without me there, this is what Labour becomes. So anyway, let's have a little watch.
The programme contains material that may be distressing to some viewers, including offensive language and views.
Like a trigger. It's like being transported back 10 years. A trigger warning. A trigger warning for sensitivity. Before she even says anything, I want to say something about the aesthetics of this, okay? Already, before she said a word, it puts me in mind of FMV video games. Do you ever play that game, Her Story? Or there was one about 10 years ago called Contradiction, Spot the Liar. where, I mean, the quality of acting in video games, I mean, when it's in a video game, it's kind of charming, right? When it's in a political context like this, it's not charming, but everything about this girl, before she's even opened her mouth, smacks of the caliber of, drama student that would appear acting in a video game like Her Story or Contradiction, Spot the Liar. And I'm not saying that as a diss on those games. I actually think both of those games are very good, by the way. What I'm saying is, this is what it smacks of. That's that kind of... that's immediately what I thought of when I saw her anyway.
The funding of the NHS is a total failure. The French do it much better with less funding. There's a lesson there. If you can afford it, you pay.
See the trouble is already off the bat is that a sizable portion of the British public is just going to agree with this. I mean, you know, Labour have to appeal to everybody in the country. They have to win an election. This was always Blair's messaging, right? They have to win by appealing to everybody. So if these sentiments, I mean, they have to calculate that all of these things will be off-putting to the median voter, right? This is the hypothetical person we have to think about, is the median voter. Is the median voter going to be put off of voting reform because they said the French system works better than the NHS? I'm not sure about that. I think it's basically a kind of common opinion that the NHS doesn't work as well as it should. Okay, regardless of whether you're left, right, ideological, whatever, just as a fact, people will say, well, the NHS doesn't work as well as it used to. So this is already not working as an advert. Major, major, like, unforced error from Labour here. And this is like, you know, they're going into, don't forget, local elections in May. I thought Labour could actually, you know, Starmer's little bounce from the not getting us into the Iran war, could actually be parlayed into being better for Labour than everybody was thinking. Then they do this. It's just dismal. Honestly, I have no training as a political kind of like director of communications, none at all. I could do a better job than this. I could tell Labour what they'd need to do to win back a lot of people in the country just by stuff they've done, by their own record. But they're just not doing it, are they? They're just doing this in, like, sat, you know, without McSweeney there. This is what they're putting out. It's incredible. It really is.
If you can't, you don't. It works incredibly well. I do not want it funded through general taxation. It doesn't work. It's not working. I think we're going to have to move to an insurance-based system of healthcare.
See, I mean, the sinister music in the background, the fact that it is there in France, the fact that Germany has an insurance-based system, right? The fact that these things already exist mean that they're not scary. And, you know, a lot of people, especially like the average Labour voter, is, you know, especially if they're middle class and sophisticated and in good jobs, right? If they live in the green belt, they live around where I live. They're not going to be scared by these sorts of things. They're going to think, we're going to have to look at the pros and the... I tell you what we're going to have to do, Dave. We're going to have a look at the pros and the cons of how it has worked in France, you know. But they actually understand, like, who is this talking to? Who is the voter that's going to be scared of the notion of a German-style system or a French-style system? Just as a matter of course, like, who are they even talking to? Anyway, I mean, maybe it's me who's out of touch with the country. Or maybe it's Labour. I don't know. I don't know anymore. But it's like, you know, I just don't see your typical kind of left-leaning liberal guy who lives in, you know, the home counties worrying about this, to be honest.
It's highly likely that the COVID vaccines have been a significant factor in the cancer of members of the royal family.
Okay. So, I mean, bringing up COVID, interesting. Now, these are all things, by the way, if you don't know the punchline, I might as well give it away. You've probably seen this already. These are all things that have been said by reform people. And, you know, the fact is it's meant to be kind of shocking or scary that they've said these sorts of things. But I think we're far enough away removed from COVID now that people probably look back and they, you know, they may have some lingering skepticism. I mean, bringing this back up now maybe isn't the kind of gotcha that Labour think it is. It's not that scary to most people to have some question marks over what the hell happened there, especially when the vaccines were dropped as quickly as they were after they made such a song and dance about it, when they were threatening to fire people from the NHS and then didn't do it. To use the language of James O'Brien, the British state reverse ferreted on COVID, didn't they? You know, it's like you know, that's basically what happened. And it was 4 years ago now, so it's a politically dead topic. So bringing it back up in this context, I don't know if it's... I don't know. I think you'll be surprised where people are in 2026. That's my value-free analysis here. I don't think this is the scare. I think that when COVID stopped being a thing and the longer it gets... the more open, even those people who went along with everything at the time, but now we're at 4 years of remove, I think people are more open to being to questioning what went on there. Now that there's some critical distance between then and now. So again, I'm not sure if Labour quite understand their own constituency, their own population.
Depression isn't real. Drives me mad when I see adverts full of black people, full of Asian people, full of people that, you know, basically are anything other than white. London has become a third world shithole. Fact.
Again, whether you agree with these statements or not, a lot of people do agree with them. A lot of people are sick of seeing, so much quote unquote diversity rammed home in adverts. Like, people are sick of that. The perception of London has changed. A lot of people do see it, as having become more third world. Okay. So again, these are the reasons that populism or a party like Reform have gained support. It's because they've said stuff like this. So repeating them again with sinister music playing, it's a weird strategy. And it's like the people who put this together haven't learned anything from the Morgan McSweeneys and Tony Blairs, who've been telling them this is the wrong way to go. This is not how you defeat populism. You defeat populism by showing them up to be charlatans, by doing efficiency better than them, by doing deportations better than them and putting the issue to bed. Mark Carney tactics. Okay? Dark Lord tactics. That's how you defeat populism. This is playing culture war. Hiding to nothing. Absolute hiding to nothing. And I say that as somebody who really doesn't like Reform and wants to see them lose. This is just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
People from other religions should eat bacon for a month to prove their Christian sincerity and credentials. I'm a racist, and I'm proud of it. Some women should have never left the kitchen.
One of the other issues with this as well is their choice to cast, Sally drama student here, rather than someone who you'd believe would actually have the, like, I don't really buy that this girl would say these things. It would probably be better coming from someone more classically gammon, dare I say, right? So the casting is weird. The idea they've gone with this kind of middle-class-looking drama student as opposed to Johnny Gammon, again, is strange. I just don't... Again, why have they done that? Why have they done that? Are they scared that if it was coming from Johnny Gammon that too many people would just agree with him or what? Like, what? Why have they decided... Like, no part of this makes any sense from the point of view... Remember, the receipt down the line is vote Labour. That's why any political party broadcast exists. The sell is vote Labour. How is this going to make anybody vote Labour?
Extracting Grenfell from the statistics, actually, people dying in house fires is rare. Many, many more people die on the roads driving cars, but not making cars illegal. Sadly, everyone dies in the end.
Again, I don't know who even said these things in the first place, but my instinct, and again, I must stress, I'm not a normal person. My brain maybe does not function the same way that normal people's brain. But my first thought is not, oh, isn't that shocking? My thought is, well, is that statistic true? This is, a claim that portends to be factual. So is it correct or not? Whereas the sinister music and the performance here, I'm meant to be shocked by this. I'm not shocked by it. Now, again, I'm not a normal guy. I run a big political channel here on YouTube, and some people have suggested I might be on the spectrum. I'm not, by the way, right? But I would say is, I'm probably not so atypical that, if I'm thinking it, you can guarantee that a certain portion of the public will also just think, well, is that statistic true? Especially when the shock factor and the emotional attachment to things like Grenfell or COVID and so on are now so far in the rearview mirror. They don't retain their shock value once you're this far removed from where whatever the zeitgeist was at the time.
Just how you go. right? Back the Americans in this vital fight against Iran. We should do all we can to support the operation.
I mean, this is probably the thing they should have led with. This is like the only big kind of victory Labour have over reform is the stance on the war. So maybe I would have stuck this up front.
Made that perfectly, perfectly clear.
Oh.
Andrew Tate was a very important voice. Is it the Bilderbergers that are running the world? You know, there are many, many other theories.
I mean, again, bringing up Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate has a huge audience. And again, I mean, I've heard LBC have whole call-in shows over this issue. Why are young men listening to Andrew Tate and actually trying to have a serious conversation about it? So now we're in a situation where the Labour Party are being more stupid than LBC on an issue. Okay. And again, the conversation that was had on LBC that I happened to listen to, a lot of people were saying, well, young men don't have role models in the current age, or something, you know, they're feeling that the educational environment has been too feminine, or there's been too much of an emphasis on feminist messaging and things like that. And it's led to a backlash, and they found people like Tate because there's nobody else there. That's the sort of conversation they were having on LBC, and there's probably a lot of truth to that. So Labour just sticking this out, again, it's just, dare I say, a little tone deaf. And then bringing up the Bilderberg group. Now, okay, to one, you know, on one level, you could say, oh, well, this is just facile conspiracy theory, okay? But on the other level, I would say the majority of people in the country, left or right, get the feeling that there are a group of elites who are against the normal people. This is a very prevalent view. Otherwise, populism wouldn't be a thing in the first place. And so is it wise for Labour to bring up then the Bilderberg group in something like this? Because, it raises more questions than it answers. Is the Bilderberg group a thing? Do they meet up? Do they have power? These sorts of factual questions. And again, Labour feel like they are banking on the notion that anybody's going to be shocked by this. It's 2026 now. And I don't mean that in a kind of, in the way that Justin Trudeau meant it, you know, current year. I'm saying that after we've lived through everything that we've seen over the past decade, I don't know if this person, like, who are they talking to? I don't know if this person exists anymore. Left or right, I don't know who is this mythical person who's been shut off in an egg and watched nothing but BBC One, doesn't have the internet and watches nothing but BBC One. Does that person exist? I'm not sure if they do. I'm really not sure if they do. There's that channel like Politics Joe, right? I imagine that even the average Politics Joe viewer has some questions about, you know, who actually has power, who's running this place. So, again, odd messaging from Labour here.
Theories could be the Masons. Some think it's the Rothschilds. Maybe it's George Soros.
Masons, do they exist? Rothschilds, is that a thing? George Soros, is he a real man? And has he put lots of money towards things like helping refugees get into the country? Again, I mean, just saying it, not refuting it, just like, oh, here's a statement and you're meant to think it's taboo and scary. I mean, one, it didn't work as a tactic in 2016 against Trump. Or against Brexit back then, 10 years ago, didn't work then when these things were taboo. 10 years on, these things aren't even taboo anymore. So it's definitely not going to work now. It's definitely not going to work. This is so... And why wasn't there somebody in the room who understood this? anybody with any amount of savvy could have told Labour, this is a stupid idea. Well, why wasn't that person in the room? I mean, it would have been Morgan McSweeney, but of course he's gone now. But it's like, it's kind of shocking that there's nobody else in the room that could tell Labour, this is a terrible idea, what they're doing here. Anyway, let's carry on.
I don't know. What I do know is, actually, I don't think any of it is a conspiracy theory. I don't believe any of what I've just said. But you should know that there are people who do.
See, this is also really bad, right? That she had to, one, that it had a trigger warning at the start. And now this moment where she has to come out of character and reveal, you know, that, oh, these are all things that reform MPs have said. She also had to virtue signal, I don't believe these things. These things are all absurd. Okay. Again, I mean, everything I've said already, but it's just so... You have to despair sometimes. I mean, they've learned so little, haven't they? They've learned so little. And what's a little bit frustrating for me as someone who really doesn't want to see reform win is that Labour could have easily just not done this. They could easily turn the messaging around and present. And all they have to do is not do this sort of stuff and they'll do better. But instead, they do this sort of stuff. I'd love to know who the target audience is. In fact, I already know who the target audience is. They're doing this because they're worried about the Greens. They're worried about losing vote share to the Greens in the upcoming council elections and in the general in 2029. So they're trying to get Greenies back on board. The trouble is, by doing that, you're going to alienate everybody else. So you're writing off, what, two-thirds, three-quarters, possibly even more of the population. And even if you think about your average Green voter, your average Green voter probably does have questions about the Rothschilds or about the Bilderberg Group or about, you know, quote-unquote Masons and so on and so forth. They probably aren't shocked by half of the things that were said here. A lot of people who vote for the Greens are Muslims. That 6% of Muslims believe everything. Muslims are very conspiratorial. If you had to generalize about them as a kind of political style, there's a lot of paranoia in, you know, not just Muslims, in, people from other parts of the world, people from the Middle East, people from Africa and so on. They tend towards the paranoid style, a bit like Alex Jones. Now, who do you think is watching like Candice Owens and people like this? You know, they're not all just kind of gammon-brained rightoids. Lots of them will be left-wing voters as well. It's hard to know who this was made for, who the target audience is. Because, one of the issues is they touched on so many topics in there. So the hypothetical viewer has to be shocked by all of them. But as I said at the start, like the NHS stuff isn't going to be shocking to your home county's bod. And frankly, the COVID, none of the stuff is that shocking at this point. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the makers of this were, and this woman here, are very out of touch. That's what my feeling. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Labour who get it and it's me who's out of touch. So you always have to hold that possibility in mind, in the interest of humility, friends. Let's see what else she says here.
Every word you've just heard was spoken by Reform UK politicians, senior figures, advisers, candidates, councillors, MPs.
There's only one way to stop reform. Vote Labour on Thursday the 7th of May.
Dear. Just handing reform the win. It's just You know, if I was to be conspiratorial, I'd say the Labour are jobbing on purpose. They're doing it on purpose, but I don't think they are, to be honest. I don't think you can do anything that tone deaf and that kind of not getting it on purpose. I think they just don't get it, unfortunately. And it is unfortunate because we don't want, I mean, it's going to be bad if Reform win. Oh, wow. Still, it's a nice day. Spring is here. Go and pick some flowers. Touch some grass. Or maybe pick up a course at the academic agency, as I mentioned before. Trivium, Mega Bundle, etc. Buy it all now, and I'll be back for office hours. See you later on. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.